Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go, starting with the Astros this morning. A couple of things. Holy crap. Lance McCullers, his out pitch, which is something that is kind of a big deal, you know, because a lot of guys, you know, can get a couple of strikes on a guy and they just can't get him out. Lance McCullers, in six innings, had 12 strikeouts yesterday.
It's the second game in a row he's punched a lot of people out.
He is, that curve, that slider, that the movement on his ball is just bad. Now, it's no wonder that, you know, he depends so much on that, on the spin rate. He depends so much on spin on his balls. And, you know, and we've joked about it, how much time he misses and everything else. But, you know, when you're spinning it like he does, I'm convinced that the spin rate, because, and the importance of the spin rate, and that's what the Astros really rely on. I mean, they love spin rate. They look at spin rate and they say, okay, we want that guy. And then they work on spin rate and get the decibels or the velocity up there and let's go and let's spin that ball, because that's what makes it hard for hitters. That's what swing and miss is awfully important to the Astros and always has been. But I don't know how many guys spin it. Honestly, I spin it like Lance McCullers. It's incredible.
He's always had that too. Yeah, he's always had that. His dad was a major league pitcher. He's a pitcher. His dad had a good fastball, but was kind of a, you know, he worked off about three different pitches, if I remember correctly. Lance has kind of changed over the years, but he's always had a good curveball. It's just a matter of where he, where his release point was. And it's just nasty. And it's been filthy here lately. When he doesn't hit his spots, he gets in trouble, and he's always had issues with, you know, when he doesn't locate his fastball. It's always been an issue for him.
Well, and when he hangs it,
well, yeah,
like yesterday he hung one. Oh,
boom.
He crushed that.
Yeah.
Crushed it. I mean, yeah, I, if a guy's waiting on your curve and you hang it up there for him, I mean, that's like one of the it can be devastating, and it was yesterday. Gave up three runs, but hey, I got to give it up because I was, Sean Dubin, he's got, you know, he's worked 9 2/3. He's got a 0 ERA. He's got 11 strikeouts and 9 2/3. He's been fantastic. You know, Brian King has been off. Okert has been this. I'm here in L.A. and I was playing poker yesterday, and the Dodgers at bullpen was getting its ass kicked, and it was fun. It was fun watching, and they're all melting down here, which is great. I love to see. And they were like, "Man, this our bullpen just sucks. It just sucks." And I was like, "Well, that's what you get. That's what you get for being an a-hole organization. When you're a great organization like the Astros, you get a great bullpen. This bullpen has been phenomenal, and it's basically a bunch of no-name guys. It basically is.
Yeah,
you make fun of Ort every time he comes out there. Every time Ort comes out, and you know what? You need to apologize to him by saying Ort.
No, that's his name, Ort.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not apologizing. I didn't say anything bad about him.
Ort. No, but you make
ever
fun
since
of him.
I started doing that, he's pitched really well. Ort.
Let's see. Yeah, see.
What's he done? He's been great since I started doing it. And I won't stop.
I
won't stop until he starts being terrible.
I would imagine you'd call him Russell Westbrook to his face.
You're welcome, Ort.
Ort. Mm. See, that's not. That's ugly because he's a heavier guy.
It'll never. He's a big bone guy. I literally won't stop until he's
in. He's got big back energy.
At his funeral, I'll say Kyle Ort. Until then,
Oh, wow.
And, oh, Kurt.
And then, listen, I'm going to tell you this.
What did you say you'd say at his funeral?
Oh, he said
Ort. I'd say Kyle Ort.
Well, maybe call him by his right name.
It's not Caleb.
You're really being insulting.
Yeah. I know. I've got.
I don't know why, but I think Kyle too when I see him. He's Caleb.
He's Caleb. I know, but he looks like a Kyle to me.
So
we used to call him Kyles, and then the parents started naming him Calebs. The millennials started naming babies. Well, no, actually, I don't know. He's kind of a between age. He is a millennial.
I'm gonna tell you this. I don't know that Yiner just automatically just gets his job back.
Come on.
No. Caratini.
Caratini's pitched well. Yiner is one of your future.
I'm telling you this right now.
What are you doing with Yiner then? Just sit him on the bench?
I don't know. I
is doing
Caratini's
that.
Behind the plate. Caratini. Yiner catches once or twice a week now. And Caratini's behind the plate all the time, and Caratini is ripping it, is ripping the ball, and came up with another huge hit yesterday that wins the game for you. Gun to your head. You feel more comfortable right now with Yiner at the plate or Caratini at the plate?
Well, right now, Caratini, but in the long run, Yiner.
Well, Yiner is obviously a young guy that you're going – but let's face it, Caratini's better right now. Caratini is better hitter right now.
Offensively.
Yeah. Well, and defensively, he's catching Caratini every day, dude.
Yeah, I know he's playing him all the time, but Caratini also is not a guy who throws out a lot of runners.
Neither. Yiner ain't either right now. Go look at the numbers. Yiner ain't either. I mean,
I'll look at Caratini's defensive
The book on the Astros is run because they're. And by the way, okay. You got to apologize to Israel, too.
I'm not apologizing to anybody. Ort.
You got to apologize.
What am I apologizing for?
Ort?
That he yanks all of his home runs down the left field line? What am I apologizing exactly for?
Who? Israel?
Who am I apologizing to Paredes for?
No, not Paredes. You're apologizing.
Oh, I thought you said Isak. Hold on.
No, Israel.
I got to put my headphones on now.
Let's see.
Oh, Israel the guy?
Yeah, because Cam Smith with another.
Oh, here.
Well. I mean, you
apologize
talk
about to him. I'm a Cam Smith fan. Maybe you didn't hear the promo. The only person I got to apologize to is I got a little overboard on Jeremy Branham.
You did a little bit.
I got to apologize to Israel. Israel's got to apologize to me, and I want him to make amends with financial. I want him to make a big payment to my church. No, not reparations, as you're going to say. I don't need all that smoke. I want payment to my church. He can pay $500 a month to my church, and I'll talk to him again.
Wow.
And it's the Church of Lance.
500 a month, Church of Lance.
It means Venmo.
I'm
not talking to him again until he starts making monthly payments to me.
Well, I will tell you this. I know that Israel's already got Cam Smith as the rookie of the year. Forget about it.
Yeah, Dana Brown is GM of the year in the second week of the season.
No. You know who's the rookie of the year? We just saw him. This Jacob Wilson kid.
Yeah, he's good.
Holy crap.
He's
good. He looks like he's 12. He's up there moving around like a man. And he's just raking. His OPS is at 900. He's got a 353 average. This kid is something. Holy crap. He made a big error, but playing shortstop. But man, we just saw the rookie of the year, and it ain't Cam Smith.
No, but Cam is playing really well lately.
Cam's playing well.
He's hitting the ball. He's putting a little charge on it. He looks much more comfortable at the plate right now. Cam's coming along just like we thought he would. It's, you just have to be patient. It doesn't just happen right away. That's why he's got to play. That's why Yiner has to play. I mean, young players have to play. That's why Jeremy Peña had to play. These guys take a little time. They need reps. They need to play.
And yeah, no, absolutely. And Jacob Wilson needed a little time. Jacob Wilson had, he had nearly an 800 OPS last month. His OPS is over 1,000 this month. Holy crap! this kid, he looks like a skateboarder, but he can play now. He can hit. This dude can rake. They just ran through. He ain't going to get – nobody's going to know who he is because he plays for the A's, and nobody will ever see him. But when sports writers should at least look at numbers and see what this kid is doing. He is phenomenal. He is phenomenal.
By the way, going back to something I said, Victor Caratini's caught one guy stealing out of 28.
Yeah.
28 stolen bases out of 29 attempts. A 3.4, his lowest percentage in his life. Now, he's been better. So some of that, you wonder if some of it's on the pitchers because he's been better during his career. His career caught stealing percentage is 19.2, which isn't great, but it's way better than 3%.
The book on the Astros is run.
Yeah.
Him and Yiner. Just run on the Astros because it might have to do with the pitchers too.
I mean, that's always something you have to take a look at.
Yeah.
Yiner Diaz from a caught stealing perspective this year is 12.2%, but his career is 22.4%. So he's caught five. They've got 36 stolen bases on him. He's got five caught stealings. So yeah, they have the Astros have allowed 64 stolen bases and caught six.
That's awful. It's
not great.
Awful. The Astros now. And, okay, you can apologize to the organization again.
I'm not apologizing to anybody or anything.
Okay.
Unless they win a World Series.
Oh, maybe you said
they
can't win.
What do I have to apologize for? I didn't say anything bad about them.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you said they can't win at home. And, oh, they just won 5 out of 6 at home.
Will you apologize to Reagan about the Astros needing to get their wags and children in check? So that they could win and that they had to put their foot down so that they could win at home?
That had nothing to do with Reagan, okay?
Yes, Reagan was the first to figure this out, that they had real problems with kids being out of control and wives and girlfriends, and they wanted to get on the road where they could win.
And Reagan's wrong because we got a young team that doesn't care about that stuff.
We're not that young.
Well, they're young, okay?
I don't know, we're actually younger than Verlander's off now.
Yeah, a lot younger. Yeah,
but how old is Christian Walker?
Christian Walker's not Verlander. Holy crap!
No,
40.
But we've had some old. Well, we had some. Jonathan Singleton was probably about the same age, so didn't matter. Christian Walker's 34. We're not the youngest team. Jose Altuve's not young. Pena's young. Paredes is.
He's in his mid 20s.
Is that all Paredes is?
Did you see there's a piece on Paredes that this guy broke down? Paredes?
Yeah, his home runs?
His home runs.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically, last year he would have had 8 total home runs if he played in Baltimore. It's literally every home run is a dead pull. He doesn't hit home runs anywhere else.
He hit 30 homers, and 9 of them would have been out in Baltimore.
Yeah, nine of them would have been outs. 9 of them would have been home runs in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He takes advantage. But, you got to give Dana credit and his – staff credit for it's not the hardest thing in today's era of StatCast and the info and intel that's out there, but they basically said this is a dead pull hitter. We got a favorable left field porch. Let's target Paredes, and it was smart. It was good. I mean, that's where he hits his home runs. He is a dead pull hitter. Period.
Yeah, and 66%.
And you can't super shift on him anymore.
No. 66% of homers are pulled. And he just takes advantage of that short porch. I mean, in Chicago, the ball would fly out a lot. Sometimes it'd come in, but when it was blowing out, he'd take advantage of that. In Tampa, he took advantage of that. It's especially down the line. It's real short. And here, of course, he's the perfect hitter here.
Yeah,
he's perfect.
Yeah.
So, we're doing just fine with we got to keep that dude Isak around for a little while because we got a ballpark built for him.
Man, only 26 too. I mean, that's
how about how much he's moved around
for.
And he's hitting 30 homers and he plays a good third base. I don't get the thing. Maybe I don't get it. And apparently he's a well liked guy in the locker room too.
Yeah, 8 home runs at home. I mean, I'm sorry, 7 at home and 4 on the road. So it's not crazy splits. He's got 130 plate appearances to 106. Home to away. He's played 30 games to 24 games. So, he's been terrific. He's got an ERA. He's got an OPS in the mid 800s. He's hitting with some power. This is Once again, and my dad, we were talking yesterday about the Astros, and he's like, well, they're down right now 3-2 to the A's and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you know, Dad, they scored like 65% of their runs in the sixth inning or beyond. Yeah. In the final stages of the game, and sure enough, the same thing happened yesterday.
Yep.
They get the win with late heroics yesterday, and that's kind of what they've done. That's one of the things that's really turned them around. I mean, it's a nice little run right now. Nice little run. Cam Smith's waking up. I'd like to see Yiner Diaz become a big factor. So I think he's going to be a good major league player, but if not Yiner, you have another guy stepping in and doing a job at the position. So,
yep.
You know, it's not him. It's not Yiner, but it's the catcher position.
Oh, well. Oh, well. All right, we got a break. We got to talk a little Craig DeCerf. If you want in, 713-780-3776.
Let's talk about Craig DeCerf. I talked to him yesterday. I'm dealing with Jeff, who's one of the head honchos over there that I'm dealing with. And we are going to – my wife and I are going to her lease is coming to an end, and we're going to get out of that lease. And she's putting a lot of miles on the car. Lease doesn't make any sense, so we're getting out a little bit early. And we're going to get a vehicle. And they had – when I went there on Friday, they had three different types of vehicles, Buick, GMC, and a Chevy, to all test drive for the wife. And she went in, looked at the interior, some things that are important to her, and then she test drove the vehicles. And I definitely recommend test driving a vehicle. You know, maybe it's not done as much because you just think, oh, they're all going to be the same. But there are differences. The way they handle, the way the seat feels, there's a lot of differences. And they want you to come in and experience it for yourself. Right now, they've got incredible offers on the Buick Envision. Man, the Buick Envision has tremendous dealer incentives right now. I mean, thousands and thousands off right now. That is one of the best. I just want to tell you about this because the interior is luxurious. You can change the colors of the interior, the little mood lighting that's in there, which I'll change from time to time with my Enclave. But the Envision right now it's a five-seater, but it has tremendous discounts. It's handle smooth. It's got a good engine, and really across the board, it's a terrific looking vehicle. Very sporty looking. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Take a look online. Go shop online at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.com. But don't forget, there's other vehicles there to choose from. But right now, I want to tell you that Buick is exceptional by design.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Texans OTAs started yesterday. And it's the first day. That's the first thing that DeMeco says. We got some sound on the offensive line. And, you know, there's going to be – I predict there's going to – okay, a 17-game season. How many different starting lineups will the Texans have at the offensive line?
How many different players will be starting?
No, how many different – yeah, start. Yeah, how many different lineups? Okay, if let's say they
different
all
lineups?
Five.
Oh, I think they'll have at least five different lineups.
I think there's a possibility of more than that, yeah, especially with injuries. With injuries.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, and you know, you could end
up. I think there's a good chance there's about 10.
Well, if there is, then it's going to be a
problem.
They'll have a losing record. Yeah,
if they have we're not concerned about it. So we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
Well, I know you're not concerned. Dell.
The offensive line.
He loves that. You love that line.
We're not concerned about it. And you certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
It's my favorite thing, his dismissal of any concerns. No, all we did was disrupt the entire unit from last year.
And add some of the poorest pass protectors in the league.
Yeah, you keep saying stuff like that, Lance, but listen.
For DeMeco and I, we're not concerned about it. So we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
Yeah. No. Don't tell me how to feel, Nick.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be concerned about it. Well, guess what? I am concerned about
it. Well, I
actually studied and watched Ed Ingram. I know what Lakin Tomlinson's holes are. I watched the Texans play, so I know how Juice Scruggs played and Howard played, and I know how all these guys played. We watch with our human eyes. So if I'm going to be worried, I'm going to be worried. Nick, don't tell me what to do.
Lance, didn't you hear what he said?
I know. Yeah. John's going to have me apologizing to Nick.
Well, I hope you are. But what's more likely is that at this time next year is going to be, hey, you were very concerned about that offensive line last offseason. You concerned now?
Do you have another question? Is there a point you're trying to make? He'll just get pissy.
Now, the problem is we're the only ones who find what he said funny. No one else is going to remember this and bring it up. But
we can keep it alive.
I don't think so. I'm the only one. Well, the one person who did, because I grabbed it from Aaron Wilson's account. So he may be the one, because he's the one who had a whole commentary on it after it's from his YouTube. So he probably would be the one. But just going to talk to us like we didn't just see your offensive line last year and pretend like you have a good track record of building one
and
drafting the guys players.
And the guys you picked up, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girl,
yeah.
Stop. Or is it stop, girl?
It's girl
it's girl stop.
So if there are this many iterations of the offensive line, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. Here's D'Amico asked about the offensive line after one day.
This is our first day in OTA, so when it comes to finding our best group, it'll be a lot of mixing and matching guys, putting guys in different spots, and seeing which five guys work well together. So one thing about the O-line is a lot of smart guys in that room, and they can move around, they can play multiple spots, so that helps them. But it's just a matter of finding that five once we actually get in training camp, put pads on. Nobody's making the team right now in shorts and belts.
I felt bad. I was reading through his – I didn't hear it, but I read the transcript. The questions – and it's nobody's fault. Like, it's just – it's uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable is not the right word.
It's always the first day.
I mean, it's literally everyone's asking these football questions that I get it. They all want to get content for their sites, or they want to ask the important question, or they're excited. You know, they want information. But from a coaching standpoint, this stuff is literally nothing. Like, it's literally – you are just having guys walk through your – this is the most basic stuff. This is not, hey, how did he look? My son, Mason, yesterday goes, was Mason or may have been Sebastian. One of them said, hey, did you hear what happened with Shador? I said, what happened? He goes, three touchdown passes. He was 7 of 9 or like 8 of 11 or something like that. 7 of 9, 3 touchdown passes. I'm like, what? And he goes, but I mean, Dylan Gabriel also was 8 of 11. So Dylan Gabriel also was pretty good, 8 of 11, and he had 2 touchdown passes. I said, what are you talking about? What touchdown pass? What games are you talking about? He goes, it was at OTAs. They were keeping stats at OTAs. I'm like, okay, get out of this kitchen where I am right now. Don't talk to me for at least 2 hours. They're keeping stats. I said, where did you hear that? Oh, ML Football. Which is one of the worst, one of the worst sites that you can possibly have on Twitter. And I'm like, ML Football, not NFL Rookie Watch, not JP Football, not Dove Kleinman, all these other chode spots that are out there. I mean, literally, they're keep somebody for engagement because they know Shador will get a lot of engagement. This guy's got stats for OTAs. I mean, this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. Now, what's not dumb is Mike Vrabel having to deal with the Stephon Diggs fallout. Are you keeping up with this at all, John?
Yeah.
I want to be careful because I don't want to say anything that can get me sued because I know that people can get sued off of stuff. But I'm just going to say this. What is on Twitter is that people are making comments about this bag of pink stuff that he has, and they're making comments about if it's drugs and how the women are going crazy over it, and he's on this boat. And I can tell you this, that is 100%. The Texans avoided – we actually got to avoid a potential nightmare with Stephon Diggs. I mean, we had no issues that I know of, none. But that's already Mike Vrabel's having to deal with this. On a boat. He's on a boat with Cardi B. I mean, he already, Stephon Diggs. And, why? Here's what I don't get. Why is Stephon Diggs letting anyone with a camera tape anything? Why is Cardi B? Why don't you just say, and how is that getting out? Why don't you just take up their phones? I mean, I don't get the generation of having to put all your business out there. It's stupid.
But the problem is it was one of the girls with the baggie, and Diggs might not even have known it was on there. You don't know.
Maybe. Well, he's holding it at first in the video I saw. He's holding it, and then the girls are calling, "Daddy, come on, Daddy, come on, Daddy, Daddy." It's just the creepiest video.
Oh, I didn't see that person.
Oh, yeah. And he's got it, and then the big girl kind of grabs it from him.
She asked him if he just took it from him and was making fun. You know, we don't know.
Fact that he's holding it at all isn't
well. Good. The fact that you know, the fact that people have drugs on a boat.
By the way, it's taped. Like, what are you doing? I just got to say, from just a standpoint of self snitching, how has no one learned to stop self snitching? I don't understand this. He can do. You know, I'm sure there's lots of guys who've done. There are lots of guys who've done lots of things, and they don't get in trouble because no one knows, because they keep their business private. This idea that you got to put all that was on the boat out there, like if I'm Stephon Diggs, I'm saying, y'all are messing my money up. What are y'all doing? Everyone, I'm going Dave Chappelle. Everyone put your – I had to put my phone into a locked-up case at Othello and at the Comedy Cellar because the Comedy Cellar's not playing. The Comedy Cellar, iconic comedy spot in New York, and it's very small. You go down there. When you go in – put your phone in this bag because they're not trying to have a bunch of people outraged with viral content because a comedian made a joke. So they don't even play. They say, put your phone in here, and that's what you do. You don't want to? Beat it. Yep. And if I'm Stephon Diggs, and even Cardi B, I'm like, put your phones in this bag or you don't get on the boat.
Yep. All right. That was Derek Jeter. You had to leave your phone at the door.
Yeah, because Jeter's not stupid. That's why that man's a Hall of Famer. Y'all need to stop playing with Jeter.
And he had a Hall of Fame list, too.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
Jeets is known. He's known for things.
But even, it doesn't matter how big you are, leave your phone at the door, because we ain't doing that here.
Mm-mm, we're not playing that.
We ain't snitching. John Daspit, okay, that's different. If you got
somebody had been injured on that boat, you better stop playing with John Daspit's name, because John Daspit has offices around the country. He has them around multiple states. He's got offices. Now, you know, his big ones are his bread is butter right here in the city of Houston and really throughout the state. He's got Dallas. I think he's got Austin, San Antonio. He's got 12 offices in the state. So, I mean, they're all over the place. He does a lot of work with water accidents, too, boating, things like that, offshore accidents, people who are working. When somebody has been negligent and it causes injury to you or a family member or a friend, John Daspit's the first call you should make, because what's going to happen is the insurance companies get their, you know, adjusters, claims adjusters, and they get their insurance agents or their lawyers and everything with their insurance agent. They're on the scene for the client so that they can manage and handle things. Do you think you're going to get a fair treatment? I mean, I've never felt that way when it hasn't been my fault. And John Dash was there to make sure you get a fair shake. And so he's going to make sure any medical bills, any time off from work, he's going to make sure the pain and suffering for injuries and whatnot, that that's going to go smoothly and that you're going to get a fair shake. And he battles. I mean, John Daspit battles and he wins. He's like hard to get out at the batter's box. And he's pretty much always, imagine somebody hitting about 920 in the batter's box. You can never get out. That's John Daspit at the plate. So make sure you have you give a call to him and his agency, his law firm, and they'll take care of you. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Our Astros win yesterday. They've won four in a row. They're a half game out of first place. Lance McCullers looked good. Tampa in town. Got to pay them back a little bit for what they did to Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown will be pitching against them on Sunday. Four-game series starting tonight at Daikin. I'm getting used to saying Daikin instead of Minute Maid. Getting used to it. A lot of stuff to get to today. You mentioned, you know, what he – this is a really good – it's good to be a Texan fan because we don't get the controversies. But, I mean, you walk in and you got to explain the pink bag, right? You got to explain what's going on with your wide receiver that you just picked up. And at Bears camp, Caleb Williams, he's like, oh, God, that book is really causing is a problem, is really a problem. And it's so nice to not have, well, we got a finger, we got a fingernail painting guy, but we don't have our quarterback as a fingernail painting guy. Our quarterback, did you see the video? CJ's running routes and catching balls on the sideline. That's
he's
our
teammate. We got a good teammate.
That's right. Right. And we don't have that. We don't have that kind of controversy. And you know what? Make fun of the technical or whatever. But that's a really, really good thing. We got a solid, solid head coach. We got a solid quarterback. I think that room now, without Laremy Tunsil, without Stephon Diggs, I don't know that there's anybody in there that isn't, you know, I mean, we got a bunch of guys that are committed to football, right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's, well, it starts with what you look for and what you covet. You know, the Patriots right now are typically, that was known as the Patriot way. And honestly, I just think they are a little bit desperate right now to, they got to kickstart some things. And they said, let's just take a chance on Diggs. And he's got talent. But you already knew. I mean, look, there's already issues. Like, if you do enough, so the NFL has security. They have NFL security. They have league security. They have team security. They know about a lot of the stuff that goes on, more than you would think. And so everyone knows that, you know, he's got a guy who parties. He's got a little bit of reputation of being out and about, you know, and that's fine. A lot of guys are. Now, is he serious about ball? I don't know. He's always been ready to play. He's always been productive. I know that. I think he likes football a lot. But he likes partying. He likes doing that. So, you know, if you have a guy like that, you want to make sure it doesn't get out of control. With the Texans, I don't think DeMeco wants any. I just think he wants guys who love football. You can go out and do your stuff. He doesn't seem to mind that at all. But the main thing has to be the main thing. And so you sign guys like that and you draft guys like that. And then you don't have to worry about it if the main thing's the main thing for him. You know, C.J. Stroud can run around and do podcasts and go play celebrity softball and drive home Amber Rose and all that. But he's still – football's still the main thing for him. He just didn't play well last year. But it's not like he decides, I'm not going to show up. I'm not the first one in, last one out. I mean, I don't have any doubt that C.J. Stroud's always going to put his time in. You know, I mean, there's levels to it. But are you ever worried that C.J.'s not going to – I mean, David – David Carr was a great guy, great dad, great human being, and great person. He was not, he did not have high football character by his own admission. Did not stay, was not the first in, last out. Couldn't wait to rush home to get to the kids and wife. And that's great, but it's not great if you're a quarterback in the NFL. And he didn't put the time in. And he even told me in an interview, he said, I didn't really know how I was supposed to go about it until I was with Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin with the Giants. He said that was the first time I knew what I was supposed to be doing. C.J. Stroud, to me, I feel like he's already there. I don't have any doubt about him from a football character standpoint.
No. Not football character. Goodness gracious.
And when he starts making $60 million a year, which will happen,
yeah.
I still think he's going to still be, you know, I mean, he may change personality-wise a little bit. Most of those guys do, unfortunately. But I think the main thing will still be, I think it's important for him to be a great NFL quarterback and to have a legacy. And as long as you have a guy who wants to have a good legacy, they're more likely to put time in.
So on that subject, the story came out yesterday that the Texans are possibly looking to get Will Anderson Jr. done before they do CJ. Before Micah Parsons gets his deal. It would be nice to not have Micah Parsons' deal out there when Will Anderson Jr. comes up. I don't know. I mean, because they're talking about Micah just breaking just stupid, stupid money. And the Cowboys, I don't know. I guess. And Will Anderson Jr. doesn't even have a podcast yet. So how can he get that kind of money? I'm not sure. but it sure would. And then, okay, so do you almost have to do Will Anderson Jr. before you do CJ?
Yeah, I think. I mean, CJ is going to be the monster, so yeah, I think you have to know what you're dealing with. With every year that you wait on Will Anderson, it's more expensive.
Yep. Well, and I don't know what kind of money is going to be around after CJ.
And David Mulgeta is not looking to do an early deal with CJ Stroud as a quarterback. I mean, the numbers are changing so drastically every year, and they're not going down. So if you're Mulgeta, you wait and wait and wait.
Did you see the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the NFL who have not won a Super Bowl. The top 10. Top 10.
That can't be true because it must be on a technicality Mahomes was...
Well, AAV or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's actual cash value though. That's an interesting stat, and it does speak to the point that. Well, first of all, it speaks to the point that. I don't know what does it speak to the point of. I mean, you had Tom Brady winning a bunch of them, so he's gone.
Here are the top 10. Dak Prescott 160. Joe Burrow, 55. Josh Allen, 55. Jordan Love, 55. Trevor Lawrence, 55. Tua, 53. Jared, 53. Brock Purdy, 53. Herbert, 52. Lamar Jackson, 52. Top 10.
Wow.
What? None of them.
No, that does sound like they're more than...
None of them have a Super
Bowl. Look how fast every one of those guys has ascended past Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' contract is considered a bad contract.
Has there ever been a... I mean, it's supposed to be a meritocracy. Quarterback is all who's up next.
No, it's just it's literally just they're all standing in a queue, as we say in London, a queue.
Yeah,
they're standing in line, and you literally get here you go, and you just get handed a contract that's going to pay you more than $50 million a year. That's all it is. Trevor Lawrence has been a massive disappointment relative to – he was supposed to be a generational quarterback. He's been a massive disappointment.
Did you happen to see the statistics? I've got it in my
With Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, they're almost identical.
It's terrible. If you want to argue, well, he hasn't had anybody. Daniel Jones hadn't really had anybody either, not a wide receiver. I mean, you know, he did have a very good running back, but, You also had Saquon Barkley had high ankle sprain his rookie year and then no offensive line his second year. And Daniel Jones hadn't had a lot of help. And guess what? They're not mutually exclusive. I don't think Daniel Jones is very good and he didn't have help. Both are true. Right now, Trevor Lawrence, until I see more from Trevor Lawrence, and look, I had a high grade on Trevor Lawrence, but I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to be accurate. I'm not right on Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence is not the player I thought he was going to be. He's not until he proves otherwise. And this dude is given this much money. You said some names on that list that I was like, good Lord, I couldn't believe it. Who are some other ones you had? I mean, I get it. Justin Herbert's had good stats and all that. All of them you get. Trevor Lawrence.
Dak Prescott's number one.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's dumb, but it was the timing. Dallas just couldn't take a chance of not going with them. So
Joe Burrow, 2. Josh Allen, 3.
I get it.
Okay.
Good quarterbacks.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan really hadn't done anything.
Nothing.
Not really.
He's not done anything.
But it was his net. He was tied. You know, you either were going to let him go or you're going to give him league value. Tua.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is a joke. Tua, frankly, I mean, Tua's had so many injuries, you'd really rather him be in the $30 million range. But
Jared Goff. Okay.
No one will stand tight. But Jared Goff, to me, I get it. But Jared Goff's also a game manager.
Yeah, but he's a really good game manager.
Well, he has been with Ben Johnson.
They're a winning team.
With Ben Johnson.
Brock Purdy is the definition of a game manager.
Oh.
Jared Goff makes plays. Brock Purdy is a game manager. Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson's 10th. He needs to get rid of his mom and get a new agent.
His mom did a terrible job.
Terrible job.
How much is he making again?
52. Yeah. I mean, how are you going to
live on that? His mom did all right.
How are you going to live on that?
His mom did all right. Because a lot of those contracts will come after.
Rich people have a lot more expenses, Lance.
Do you know that Pat Mahomes, I know I was told that by Pat Ewing, I think.
Was Pat Ewing?
We make a lot, but we spend a lot.
I
think it was somebody else who said that. It might have been Ewing.
No, that was Ewing.
It was Ewing. We make a lot, but we spend a lot. But that is true. Rich people spend a ton of money.
They spend more than poor people.
Oh, what? Well, that's why most people. If you told most people in America, I'll give you $100,000, they would say, "I'm set. I am good. There are no problems," because they would live a lifestyle. Well, in your mind, you're always going to live a lifestyle that you're living now that's relative to the money you make. But every time our consumerism is when you make more money, your spending goes up. You start getting stuff, you know, well, I got lots more paycheck on this one. Let me kick it up a little bit. That's why people have a hard time downsizing, because you get so used to spending high and you downsize, it's an issue. You know who did Pat Mahomes' contract is Lee Steinberg. And Lee Steinberg used to be a super agent. Lee had a lot of issues with alcohol and made a comeback. His comeback was he had two guys. I think Paxton Lynch, that was a miss, and Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes, to get this is actually accurate. To get back in the good graces of NFL players, he did Patrick Mahomes' rookie year free. No commission.
Wow.
That's how he had to get Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes has stayed with them. He stayed with his agency. And I don't know. I mean, the commission's probably not 3%, probably closer to 1.5%, if I'm guessing, on the second contract. But he did the first deal free to try to get Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he was desperate.
That's how drug dealers do it.
Yeah, but you're the one paying them.
Give you the stuff for free.
Yeah, but you make more money than that.
And then they give you, yes.
The drug dealers are the ones making the money.
You give it away free.
No,
first.
This is like a restaurant. You're more like a restaurant here, John. You're like a restaurant GM where you give somebody who's making a bunch of money free stuff just so you hope they come in and spend a little bit of money with you later and you still give them free stuff.
I like the drug analogy better. But I do like, I also like Underdog and what they're doing.
Underdog Fantasy, man, it was not good for me yesterday. I thought, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, the team's really going to, they're going to lock in on stopping Jalen Williams. And so his points are going to be lower. Wrong. Well, actually, points and rebounds I looked at. Wrong. It was a runaway freight train. Sometimes that happens. You got to analyze the games, and you go higher or lower on the stats that they have. Chet Holmgren, I was looking at him. Points and rebounds. I thought Chet just was kind of an afterthought and somehow got to 20 points the other day. But I think Minnesota's going to put up a fight here. Wrong. Chet went higher on points and rebounds. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander went higher on points. His was 33.5. He hit 34. Listen. You gotta figure out these games, these NBA playoff games, the WNBA games. If you want to jump on that, the Major League Baseball happens on a daily basis. You're watching the games anyway. Take your sports knowledge and start making money with it by going higher or lower on the stats. You just pick two or more players, and you're going to win multipliers. For every player extra that you add on there, a stat higher or lower, you win multipliers. And they even have flex option, which means that you don't have to win every pick. You can win 3 of 4, and you're still going to win money. You can win 4 of 5 and still win money. They've got that available for you at Underdog Fantasy as well. Use promo code Lance. You get up to $1,000 in bonus cash. But, guys, right now during the summer, you want something to do? Man, throw some money into Underdog Fantasy. You can start as low as $10, but put more in there if you can afford it. And they're going to, they got that match going, or they got the bonus cash going. And let's have some fun. Use your sports knowledge, watch your baseball games, and start making money with Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older in present state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncbgambling.org.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. We have mentioned Ronel Blanco. Congratulations. That was the most obvious thing ever. That once they said, oh, he's got to go back and he's got some elbow discomfort. Tommy John. I mean, it was the most obvious thing ever. Ronel's missing his start, but you know what? We're not worried. We shouldn't go back and get Tommy John. Tommy John surgery for Ronel Blanco.
Yeah, so, I just assume. Anytime you miss a start, I'm assuming.
So Tommy we're John. Into this season. We're getting towards the halfway point.
Yeah.
We won't see him the rest of this year, next year. We'll see Ronel Blanco, who's had basically one major league season. In 2027. Oh, there's that. You got, okay, the starting lineup, the starting rotation. Christian Javier, followed by Luis Garcia, followed by Renel Blanco, followed by J.P. France. We're missing somebody. Who else is on the – what other starter that's
Just J.P. France isn't Tommy John. You know, he did have Tommy John, but it was back in 15 at Tulane.
Yeah, no. But he's also not
– just guys out? You're talking about just guys out?
Yeah. Who's the,
well, Blanco, Garcia, Javier, and France.
There's one more. We got a whole rotation.
Well, that's four.
Eric Geddy's out.
Yeah, it's hand, not Wesneski.
Yeah, Wesneski.
Oh, Wesneski did have. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was one, too. That was Wesneski. When I was out of town.
Yeah, and we're not even a cop. We got a six-man rotation with Eric Geddy. But God, Eric Geddy is hopefully coming back.
Well, have the Astros ever. I've never heard them speak on this about concerns or if there's any. I've never heard them question. Have you heard it? Have you heard anyone put their feet to the fire? At least ask, have you looked at internal practices to see if there's any correlation to the amount of arm injuries? I'm sure they'll just say, well, if you look around the league, it's very high around the league. Because there's been other people will tell you, if you look at the minor league systems, there's numbers much higher than the Astros since they started tracking these. But I'm here to tell you that since 2000, I doubt anyone's lost the amount of actual starters in the Astros have. Verlander, McCullers, you know, we're not counting Garrett Cole, but Garrett Cole had Tommy John surgery too. So, I mean, he's not counted. He hadn't been here for a while. But Verlander, McCullers, Garcia, and this is the recent Urquidy. We didn't mention Urquidy the other day because he's not on the team. But Garcia, Urquidy, McCullers, Verlander, Javier, Wisniewski. I mean, that's six, and I feel like I'm missing one other one. France is not a Tommy John. That's six. That's six that I'm just coming up with off the top of my head since 2020. That's and every one of them is going to miss, you know, the numbers look like two-year misses. Verlander was a two-year miss. Yep. Lance McCullers was a two-year miss. Although he wasn't officially a Tommy John, actually. He just waited it out for 2 years. But he had previously had Tommy John in 20 when he came the year before in 19, I think, is when he had the Tommy John, and then he came back in 20 because remember he said everyone might die if they pitched during COVID.
Right, right.
He was upset. That they were taking the chances. But yeah, it's I don't know. I just feel like more has got to be done. Someone sent something to me, might have been Dustin, about someone was talking about the late cocking of the arm. There's something about the mechanism that creates more torque. And when you follow through all the way, when you're a quarterback, right? A lot of times you kind of short arm things because you're getting rid of the ball quickly. It's kind of a snap release. It's not a long, prolonged release. It's more of a snap release. You got bodies around you, and it's a real tight, compact delivery. They talk about there's injuries that occur in javelin throwers because they have that long, they have a late cocked arm motion, and it's a long, prolonged delivery, the same as baseball, and that creates more torque on the UCL. I was reading this, you know, he sent it to me. And I thought, okay, I mean, there has to be studies. There's missing so many people. Like, if there was any kind of a prevention mechanism in place where somebody found a best course of action and prevention to keep this from happening, how much money would they make?
Well, that's funny because I just liked, and I'm going to look at, somebody was talking about on my timeline about how to deal with elbow pain. You know, as a golfer, you're going to get elbow pain every now and again, and you know, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous out there. And so he was talking about how you deal with, and I'm looking for it right now. Trevor Bauer. Top three exercises to fix elbow pain. And so maybe Trevor Bauer should take a look at our pitchers and see what's going on. Okay? Maybe Trevor Bauer can help the organization. He wanted to pitch here. I haven't seen Trevor Bauer in a while. Is there anybody that has been ostracized from a sport?
He's up there pretty high.
Well, yeah.
Ray Rice?
No, yeah, him too.
I mean, Ray was on video.
Quarterback for the 49ers.
Colin Kaepernick, yeah.
Colin Kaepernick.
Well, no, he was ostracized from a sport.
Yeah. I mean, and Trevor Bauer's in that.
Yeah.
Everybody said, no, we don't want no Trevor Bauer. I don't care.
No.
I don't care how well he's pitching. We don't need none. Of course, he didn't pitch. He really kind of fell off after starting pretty well.
I would say, though, that Trevor Bauer hurt himself with his personality, too.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor, like, sometimes in those instances, you know, Kaepernick there was some financial stuff that I think he could have taken, smaller deals potentially. There were some things that could have helped out Colin Kaepernick. There was behavior stuff with Trevor Bauer where I think some guys just didn't like – his own team didn't like him. The Dodgers didn't like him. They didn't want him back in the locker room at all. And you would think that they would say, okay, we're gonna distance ourselves, but, you know –
Well,
when the time comes, if he's found innocent, we're going to bring it back. Oh no, they didn't want anything.
No,
to do
usually
with
and usually players will get behind a player.
Yeah, no, and no player seemed to want.
Well,
Trevor
because
Bauer.
They're all the and one guy anonymously said, "Yeah, my wife." I mean, it's hard to justify having him around with the wives.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I want to talk about Robin. I want to talk about what's going on over at Houston Powder Coaters. I don't know about you. I mean, if you've got anything that's metal, Houston Powder Coaters is the place. Houston Powder Coaters. Robin is fantastic. Is fantastic at getting whatever metal that you have, making it look great again. And here's the deal. I thought it was awesome. She brought out to one of our golf tournaments, and it was the blue and the orange of one of your favorite baseball teams. And I'm like, that is a really cool chair. And if you're a huge fan, you put that in your backyard. Or when you tailgate, you bring it out. For those of you that are football fans of whatever team, if you're a fan of burnt orange or maroon or red, white, and blue, okay, you can get your chairs out there that you're tailgating with, those colors. And everybody's going to go, wow. That is awesome, right? And you ain't ripping them off. You're just making them the colors, making them look great at Houston Powder Coaters. Boat parts, car parts, patio furniture, whatever metal that you have, Houston Powder Coaters is here for you. Robin is awesome. They're going to do a great job. Pick up and delivery absolutely free. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.